God wants you to prosper. God wants you to receive his blessings. God has blessings stored up in heaven for you. What did he say? He will open the windows of heaven. And he would give you the rain when you need the rain. And I think that applies for many things in life. God wants to open the heavens above you. Where do you stand? What is in your life that you are crying out to God and say, I want your blessing, Lord. I'm tired. Father, open up the windows of heaven. You know, I'm not a prosperity preacher. But I know this. God wants his people to prosper. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be the head and not the tail. God wants when you go out into the city, you are blessed. And when you come back to your house, you are blessed. God wants your goats to be blessed. God wants when David plants that big garden he's going to plant to prosper. He wants to send the rain. He wants to do that for David. We have a good God. We have a good God. We're going to be prospering people. But you know something? We love prosperity. We do. We love it to go well. We do. I like to drive my car and don't feel any vibrations, you know? And I like when I mash my brakes, the car slowly comes to a nice stop. You know what I mean? I want that car that when I turn that corner, I like that Dodge out there. I turn that corner, boy, that car could hold a corner, I tell you. I love it. You don't like when things go right in your life? Come on now. I like it when things go right. And sometimes it's the simple things that make me get all excited. You know, I'm excited. I have a little bit of fear, a little bit of excitement, because soon I think I'm going to be out of Save-A-Lot. It's coming. By the end of the year, I'm not going to be at Save-A-Lot. You know, and this is how God is good. You know, I go home, I tell my wife all of this stuff. And then I'm talking to her on the phone, and I said, there, you know, I was thinking about next year, but I really think it needs to be the end of the year. And then she said, well, I guess we'll have to get rid of some horses. Isn't that God? When God is ready to bless you, everything is going to fall in place. We may not see it. We may not understand how it's going to take place, but God said in his word that when you go out in the city, you could walk, you could walk with your chest up and you could walk and be confident because God said, I am blessing you. And I love that. But you know what I hate? When I mash the brakes in that car and it vibrates. It does that to my car because the road is a little warped. And I don't want to spend the money on it, and I think I could live with the vibration. I know it's going to stop. You know what I don't like? That same car that holds that corner very well, you try to make a really turn in a tight spot. It doesn't have the turn like my truck does. And I'd hate that. But you know what happens? You have to take the blessings of God with the requirements of God. You see, we all want the blessing. We all want the windows to be open. But listen what he said. And all of this is in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's go back. I read to you to 14. Let's go to verse 1. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I have commanded you today, the Lord your God would set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you. What is the requirement? We do not like the requirement. Obey the commandments of the Lord. I don't like to obey. I know about you, because to obey restricts me. I want to be me. I want to fulfill my desires. They may not go with the desires that God has for me, but I want to fulfill them because they're in my flesh. And they feel good. But then I want to get home and I want to walk the city with my chest up because God's going to bless me. What did he say? If I obey the commandments of the Lord. That was in verse 1. Let's go down and see then. Verse 9. It says, the Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his way. You know, I was making some banana pudding for the fire department, and I got all the ingredients, like how God gives us all the ingredients. And I was making that banana pudding, and I think I was doing pretty well. I had all the ingredients, I thought, in there. Until a wonderful saint of the Lord came and says, that just does not look like a banana pudding supposed to look. Guess what? I forgot out one of the ingredients. Do you think that banana pudding would have tasted the same? See, what we want to leave out some of the ingredients and expect it to be a wow tasting at the end. But what is it? If we walk in his ways. The Bible says, if we walk by the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't walk by the Spirit. That's why I desire to fulfill the lust of the flesh and have to war so much. But if I walk according to the Word of God, I will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Do you still want the windows of heaven to be open above you? Do you still want God to bless you? Let's take a look at some of the commandments that he gave them prior to this wonderful blessing. You know, I would love, I don't know about you, but I'm talking about me so you could listen in, all right? I would love to skip all the work I do at Save A Lot and be there Friday and get the paycheck. I would love that. I would love to stay home, get a little rest and relaxation, and on Friday go to Save A Lot and pick up my check. But guess what? There's not going to be a check there for me. There may not even be a job there for me. But what do we do as Christians? We expect to fulfill our desires. Do what we want to do. But then we want to pick up a check from God. Doesn't it feel that way? Deuteronomy. Let's go back to chapter 27. And I want to go back. I know we covered 2 last week. But I'm going to go back to number 1. Verse 15. Now, here it is. Curse be the man who makes a calf and makes a carved, is that it? Oh, there we go. That's why I'm confused. The sentence is not making sense to me. All right. Or cast metal image, an abomination to the Lord, a thing made by hands of a craftsman, and set it up in secret. Now, and all the people reply, amen. Don't we agree? The thing about it is, we agree with God. We do. We agree with God. It's just that we don't want to obey God. Because all the people said what? Amen. Amen. The first thing I see that is a requirement to walk in God's blessing is God got to be God of your life. He has to be the God that you're serving. And guess what it says? Put that back up there. You could leave it up there until I go to the next one. See that little word there? Set it up in secret. See that word? Secret. Ted Haggard said this. There is no such thing as a secret. And he was right. About 10 years later down the road, his secret came out. See, he knew the word of God. He just didn't want to obey the word of God. Some of you think you have a secret. What's your secret? Don't matter what your secret is, if you're not putting God first and ultimate in your life, I may not know it. Barb may not know it, but I guarantee you one person that knows it, God knows it. If you are not putting God first in your life, you are not going to be blessed in your city. You're walking in a curse. And sometimes the things you see as blessing, it's not really blessings. So first we see you must have God as your God. Second, honor the person. Go next one. Cursed be the one who dishonors his father and mother. And all the people say, amen. The second thing I see, and I've always put this after God, is honoring your mother and your father. I know we talked about this last week, but I believe it's important. One of the ladies at Save a Lot told me, she has three kids, three. I don't know how old she is. And she asked them what's going to happen to her when she gets. Two of the kids didn't even wait for them to ask. They told her, Mama, when you get old, we're putting you in a nursing home. Two of her kids. And she said to me, thank God for my third one. She says she will never let that happen. Honor. Children, if you are looking for God's blessing, you need to be honoring your mother and your father in spite of who they are. Go to the next one. Curse is the one who moves his neighbor's boundary mark. And all the people say amen. You know, when I moved into 3371 Tribble Road, I walked around looking for the boundary mark because I want to know where my boundaries are. I never really got it surveyed, but there were boundary marks there, and I walk around, and I can't find one. I can't find the one up at the road. I looked and I looked and I looked, so I don't know where it starts. But to move someone's boundary mark is like stealing. And what does the Bible say? Thou shalt not steal. When God gives you something, he's saying, and he's talking to his children. This is, he's not talking to Gentiles. He's talking to his children, Israel. And he's saying, one child shouldn't be taken from the next. Moving their boundary lines because you want a little bit more. And sometimes to move the boundary line is also to take away some of their livelihood. Are we the type that wants God blessing, but we're trying to take away the livelihood of our brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we the type that is wanting God's blessing, but then we are trying to be dishonest with our dealings with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Next one. Cursed is the one who leads a blind person astray on the road, and all the people shall say, Amen. When you think of a blind person, what do you think of? A person that cannot find a way. Person cannot see. They don't have any sense of direction. Do you know any people like that? I know a few. You know what you could do? You could take advantage of people like that. You sure can. But what does God tell us? Be careful. We should not be taking advantage of the ones that cannot see. You know how much things you could do to a person that cannot see? You could do a lot of damage to a person that cannot see. The Bible tells us don't put a stumbling block in front of them. And we can. Because we want to take advantage of the situation. But you know that there's some of us in church like that. We will take advantage of a brother and sister in Christ very easy because of their lack of knowledge in a certain area. Because they're blinded there. But we, as God's children, when we put God as first, whatever we want to do, we want to please God. So when we see people like that, we want to do to them what will please God. Go to the next one. Cursed is the one who denies justice to the foreigner, foreign resident, a fatherless child, or a widow. And all the people say, Amen. You know, we talked about that a few times. And when something in the Word of God keeps reoccurring and reoccurring and reoccurring, you better believe there is some weight there. And that statement has been reoccurring in Deuteronomy quite a lot. What God is saying that those people are important to Him because they have nobody. The widow has no husband. A true widow has no children to take care of her. A foreigner has nobody around. I know what it means to be a foreigner. I remember when I first came to the United States, I don't have any job, can't have money for my own, was not eating right. And a sister from the church probably noticed. I don't know how she noticed. And she left her key under her mat and told me, my key is under the mat. You just go whenever you're hungry, take the key, open the door, and go eat. That's what God is talking about. Tell me, where do you see that happening? How many people you know would do that to a foreigner? I had nobody. And she realized I had nobody. Even while I'm living with somebody, she realized I had nobody. We got to be careful how we deal with the folks that has nobody. We as Christians have a responsibility. You know, we want God's blessing, but we better be able to pass on God's blessing to the widow, the fatherless, and the foreigner. Go down. Next one. Cursed is the one who sleeps with his father's wife, for he has violated his father's marriage bed. And all the people say amen. Next one. Cursed is the one who has sexual intercourse with any animal, and all the people say amen. Next one. Cursed is the one who sleeps with his sister, whether his father's daughter or his mother's daughter, and all the people say amen. I think there's one more. Next one. Cursed is the one who sleeps with his mother-in-law, and all the people say amen. I think that was the last one, right? All right, good. God is requiring his people to be sexually pure. That's what that is saying. Are you sexually pure? Zachary, you have a good start. Don't mess it up. You long, young ladies and guy back there, you have a good start. Don't mess it up. God is requiring you all to be sexually pure. Married folks, you're doing well. Stay within the marriage. God requires you to be sexually pure. You know, I wish the church would preach more about sex. And I wish we'd be more open like the Trinis are about sex. If you guys go to Trinidad and we talk about sex, you guys will be shocked. God created sex. I love sex. Sex is a good thing. In the confines of marriage. Young folks, if you keep yourself sexually pure, you wouldn't have anybody to compare your spouse to. In fact, your sex will get better. You would never have to say, oh, Susie did it better. Harry knew what he was doing. I don't know what this one I have doing. But if you keep yourself pure, young folks, it will just get better. God is requiring us to be sexually pure. You know, we always look at sex also as just a physical thing. But we have to think also it's something of the mind. Keep your mind pure. Keep your mind pure. If right now, young folks, talk to the young folks, because when once you violate that standard, it's a fight for the rest of your life. I'm telling you right now. Once you violate God's law by not being sexually pure, you're going to have a fight on your hands for the rest of your life. But if you choose today that you're going to keep your mind and your body sexually pure, you will have an easier time in times to come. I wish I could go back to those days and say no. I wish I could go back to those days and I walked in and they're watching something. I said, guys, I can't do it. I got to go. But guess what? I can't go back there. But I could tell you from experience that once you visit there, you can stay pure after that, but it's a greater fight to do so. So you want God's blessing? Stay sexually pure. Next one. Curse is the one who kills his neighbor in secret, and all the people say amen. Thou shalt not kill. You know, it's just, if you go out in society today, they're going to tell you that killing is wrong. They will. You ask anybody out on the street right now if killing is right, they'll tell you killing is wrong. And most people have a handle on that. But Jesus said this, if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. Didn't Jesus say that? So check yourself. Are you killing your neighbor by hating them? Thou shalt not kill. Next one. Cursed is the one who accepts a bribe to kill an innocent person, and all the people say amen. Next one, because we dealt with that. Cursed is anyone who does not put the words of this law into practice, and all the people say amen. Although we are not bound by the law, we have been set free from the law through Jesus Christ. The law shows us what sin is. And we need to uphold the law of God. You should be familiar with the Ten Commandments. You should know the Ten Commandments. And if you don't, shame on you, and you need to start learning them and put them in your heart. Because on those times when you feel like God is far away and you want to do something that is, you could check them up to the Ten Commandments. Question. How many of you felt good to get a prophecy of God's blessing this morning? Didn't that feel good? When I read it, it felt good to me. In fact, when I got to that part, I already had that underlined in my Bible. Well, let's fulfill the requirements. Let's fulfill the requirements. Because when you don't fulfill the requirements, it's not expected that you get the outcome. Now, sometimes God's mercy grants us his blessing. Sometimes it's just the mercy of God that he comes and he just pile it on you. Sometimes I look at my life and I said, God, it's your mercy. I know it's your mercy because I sure don't meet. Even Paul says, you know, we can't keep the law. It's hard to keep the law. But I tell you this, it's where your heart is. It's where your heart is. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where is your heart? If your heart is to please God, your heart is in the right place. I was here early this morning trying to obey Danny. He told me I need to be here early and already prayed up in the sanctuary. So I was here early this morning and I was praying in the sanctuary, touching every chair and saying, God bless everybody. I called everybody by name, every family. In fact, everybody sits in about the same place. So when I got to their chair, I prayed for them at their chair. Because God wants to bless you. But your heart needs to be in the right place. Today could be a new start for you. Today could be a new beginning. Maybe you have broken God's law so many times. Maybe you violate God's sexual policy. I don't know. But today, you could mark today as a new beginning. If you want today to be a new beginning for you, just stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. See, I want today to be a new beginning for me. You know, one of the things I was praying today, Lord, I want you to be first in everything that I do. I want when I make a decision, it's a decision to please you. That's what I've been saying to God today. I said, Lord, I need a fresh start. Today is going to be a fresh start. Let us pray. Father, we are making a new commitment to you today as we stand in your presence. We ask, O God, that you would cleanse our hearts, our minds, forgive us of every sin, the ones that we did, the ones we thought of doing. Lord, we pray, God, that you would cleanse our hearts and our minds. We want to be people that is going to be for your glory. We want to live a life that when people see us, they know we belong to God. Just as the blessing says, they shall see and know that you are our God. Father, I pray, God, right now in the name of Jesus, that you would give us the strength to walk uprightly, circumspectly, and not as fools. Father, Lord, that we will be wise as a serpent, but we will be harmless as a dove. Lord, that we would be one that will set an example. That the ones that are older will set it for the ones that are younger. Lord, let our marriage be an example of how godly marriages need to be. Let the young people be an example of what young people need to be as godly people. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bless everyone that's here this morning. That you would open the windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing. Lord, there are some this morning that needs a healing in their body. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just send that healing and restore to them in the name of Jesus. There is some here this morning that need a financial breakthrough, Lord. I pray, God, that you will open up the winds of heaven and pour them out a blessing. Lord God, I pray, Father, there's some that here today, Lord God, that needs help in school. Lord, I pray, God, that you will pour out a blessing on them, O God. Open up their minds to understand and give them the what they need to recall that information when they have to. Lord, there's some in here that needs the right type of attitude in the workplace. I pray, God, that you will open up the windows of heaven and pour it in. Because you are a God that wants to bless your people. So Lord, we ask, O God, as you bless your people, may they be a blessing to their community, to their homes, to their schools, to their jobs. In the name of Jesus. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. You can go and be blessed.